Wakanda! Welcome!
Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot goes out to JD Martinez. JD Martinez with his first career walk-off homer. I said it when it happened. JD Martinez does it. He's got a flair for the dramatic. He's had some big homers in Citi Field. This is a guy who said he chose the Mets because he's addicted to the postseason. He looked at New York playing for the National League team in New York as his best chance of getting to the postseason. They're three games out of the wild card. You can't say that they're out of it. That dream for him is still alive. And man, you couldn't lose the series to the Miami Marlins at home. And with your backs against the wall, JD Martinez comes through. He goes two for four with two ribbies. And he's your Casamigos Big Shot of the Night. He won it for the Mets. 3-2. Mets win and win the series. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're going calls, 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 and more calls. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good to get back on the Fan. So, first, good win by the Mets. And, you know, JD Martinez is going to get us a nice amount by the trade deadline. He's building up his stock. That's what I'm shooting from tonight. It was great to see that. And the Marlins are just a bad team, like one of the rare teams that might be worse than us. And I don't understand how they didn't sweep this team, but at least they managed to pull 2 out of 3 because I was getting nervous each game.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these ground balls that they can't field right. But the Mets had those too, so it makes you wonder whether the Mets are closer to like a team like the Nationals or a team like the Marlins.
I think that there's been so much change. They're still evolving and becoming, you know. You get Francisco Alvarez back. You get Edwin Diaz back. Let's get Kodai Senga back. You pick up Luis Torrens. You send Tomas Nito out. Brett Beatty is killing it in AAA. Everybody keeps calling him a quadruple A player. How come it can't translate? Maybe it will at second base. They keep saying Jeff McNeil is their second baseman. Jeff McNeil is batting 8th, 9th. Like, things are very fluid with the Mets right now. And I think once they find a consistent lineup and groove and put together a win streak, that's what I've been saying since the beginning of the year. When are they going to win 3 games in a row? Like, when are they going to win 4 games in a row? When are they going to sweep a team? It has to happen.
Probably start hitting at home. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, got to play better
at games,
home.
You know, how many games they have this year? They haven't had a hit through the first 5, 4, 5, 6 innings. And they only have 3 hits, and they have the most, they were saying before the game, the most runs per game away, and then at home, they're like second to worst in the majors.
Because it's toxic over there, because they can hear the woe is me Met fan behind the dugout. Your energy is traveling from the stands to the field.
And also, as you said, new look. Well, but the whole bullpen has pretty much changed. Not these, but this guy Nunez, this guy Santana, this guy Young. And I guess it's just the way the bullpen works, you know, comes and goes. You know, one guy's a good week, another guy's a good week. But at least it's not looking as horrible as it did last week. But they also play the Marlins. I want to see what they now look against the Padres, you know, guy like Mark Vientos. And it's good to see Lindor finally hitting. But then, Keith, with the NBA Finals, do you think there's any chance Dallas wins Game 4?
Sure, there's a chance. Luka's got to just ball out. Kyrie's got to show up again. I think they said Kristaps might play in Game 4. There's also a chance. I don't know. There's always a chance, but like, I think they're cooked, man. What is it? Yeah, what's the use?
Just frustrating. I want like one. Like it doesn't. I'm not going for any specific team. I'd rather just a good series, whether it's the NHL, whether it's the NBA, and they both got 3-0 holes. And none of the games have been too good. The Mavericks have had a few good games, but nothing coming down to like the last. You know, no overtime games.
They blew it, and Luka had a hissy fit, and it is a bad look. Here's the chance. Maybe the Boston Celtics want to win it on their home floor, and they go out there and half-ass it and let the Dallas Mavericks get one. Thanks for the call, Josh. 888-808-1019. Let's keep it rolling. Vincent in Manalapan, New Jersey's on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Hey. I want to know why you think it's so bizarre that Juan Soto could go to the Mets in the offseason.
Who's done it? That's the thing. Like who has taken the money from Steve Cohen? It's just this theory that exist on WFAN and Twitter that Steve Cohen is the richest owner in the sport, that he's going to throw a bag of money at X player, and they're going to say, yeah, I want to be a Met because I just want the money. There's so many other factors that players consider, and there are other teams with money as well. I'm just like, I don't know. I keep hearing it, and I watch Juan Soto. Like, I've met Juan Soto. There's a video on my Twitter and Instagram of me dapping up Juan Soto. The guy looks pretty content and pretty happy. I just saw him with a Juan Soto chain. He put it on Jordan MVP Barber, and it was him, a silhouette of him doing his shuffle with the number 22 and an interlocking NY underneath, and it wasn't the Mets one. It was the Yankees one. So, like, nobody can tell me that this guy is just going to take more money to go be a Met. It doesn't make any sense.
The Mets are willing to pay him the money. They matched his
We also don't even know that. We also don't even know that. Thanks for the call, Vincent. We also don't even know that. You fans and some hosts here love to say what the Mets are going to do, what Steve Cohen is going to do with his money, right? He was supposed to get Ohtani, too. Ohtani didn't pick up the phone. Why didn't he offer Aaron Judge? Because you know what? Hal Steinbrenner supported him coming in, so they had like a wink, wink, handshake agreement. Don't bid on my guy. But if it makes you sleep better at night for the 7 months of a baseball season to tell yourself that Juan Soto and Scott Boras are just going to go to the highest bidder, and the math to you is that Steve Cohen is the richest owner in the sport and he's going to offer him $800 million, then believe what you got to believe. I'll believe what my eyes tell me. My eyes tell me is Juan Soto is a Yankee. That Juan Soto today broke up the no-no for the Yankees. Juan Soto today took the lead for the Yankees. Juan Soto today is tracking down fly balls, making plays for the Yankees. He is a Yankee. This guy is home. He wants to be in the Bronx, where there are Dominican flags in right field, where the loudest name in the roll call is Juan Soto. And if you think Hal Steinbrenner is not going to be in the running to present that man over $500 million, you're mistaken. And also, if you think that he'd rather be a loser for $50 million more, you're mistaken. He wants to win. And we have to see where the rest of the season goes with this New York Yankees team. But, like, it just is crazy to me. I've done all types of analogies. Nike versus Puma. Sometimes dudes just don't want to wear Pumas. You'll never see me in a pair of Pumas, bro. You couldn't pay me to wear those Pumas. I rock Jordans and Nikes. It's a brand thing. Right? Like Steve Cohen having all this money. Yeah, there's a lot of rich dudes out there with a lot of money. They can't find a date. They get ghosted. They buy girls expensive dinners and never hear from them again. I wonder why. Because you're a loser, bro. She doesn't want to be with you, but I could riz her up with no money, and she says, yeah, I'm going with him. Just had to get that little rant off. JB's in Freeport. You're on the Fan, JB. I know you got Juan Soto as well, so I'm coming to you next.
Good looking out. Keith, I love the show. We need to hear you on the D-time more often. I just want to say that, you know, for all the Mets fans, I think Juan Soto is the answer and Juan Soto alone is the answer. That formula has been proven that it doesn't work. Anaheim had Shohei and Mike Trout for how long? And yep. He did nothing with it. You need an entire team. I'd rather have an entire team of above average players than have two superstars on my team. And that's it. And nothing. And a bunch of scrubs. What Stearns did with Milwaukee, I think is a great example of a whole team of above average players without like a standout superstar. I mean, yeah, it's okay, but you get the point. That's what the Mets need. I think you got to trust the process. We don't need to go all in on Soto and just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, JB. You're going to get used again. Just like Yamamoto, you guys forgot? We spent all winter. Oh, Yankees versus Mets. First big free agent. Who's going to get him? Who was on the Fan telling you guys first? It's not Yamamoto. For the Yankee fans that were getting mad at me. What do you mean, Keith? It's the offseason of Yamamoto. I'm like, no. Did you watch the World Baseball Classic? Just Google. Just look. He's best friends with Ohtani. He's going to follow Ohtani. It's Yamamotani. And you know what they did? Him and Joel Wolf, Super Joel as he called him, his agent, they finessed the hell out of Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen flew to Japan, took his whole family out to a French cuisine. And then when Yamamoto came to New York, They had him over his house. He opened up his estate for Yamamoto just to drive the price up to $325 million to go back to the Dodgers and say, hey, this is where I want to be. Will you guys match it? And they'll say, yeah, sure thing. They say, yeah, Ohtani, that's your man. So, yeah, we got you. No problem, bro. $325 it is. Tell Steve Cohen to get lost with his Mets hat. Rob is in Norwalk, Connecticut. Rob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Long time, first time. I want to get a little bit abstract out of sight, just the Yankees and the Mets. You know, I'm a big baseball guy. I've been a big baseball guy my whole life. But all my friends, I notice, especially when I'm around other people, everyone's always focused on football. I'm really worried about the state of baseball going forward in the future, especially my little cousins. They're all big football people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of my biggest worries. I'm wondering what you think the sport needs to do to really grow itself again like I felt it was when I was a kid.
It's too late. I told my wife the other day, because I went to Yankee Stadium, and I saw how many fans were out there, and I absolutely loved it, bro. I just was like, baseball's alive and well. Who said baseball's dead? Look at all these fans out here in Yankee Stadium, national televised game. And then the NBA Finals is on, and I'm like, oh, I want to see the numbers. So Sunday Night Baseball versus the NBA Finals Game 2. The NBA Finals Game 2 had 12 million viewers. Sunday Night Baseball had 2 million viewers. So 10 million more people. That's not close at all. And, like, these kids, they don't care about baseball. Like, my little cousin is 10. One summer, like, let's say 4 or 5 years ago, I had him in the car with me. I'm listening to John and Susan. He's like, turn it off. Turn it off. What is this? Turn it off.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm getting mad. I'm like, bro, shut up. Like, I'm listening to the game. He's like, I don't want to listen to baseball. They don't care. These kids don't. They don't care. They're into Steph Curry. They're into Ant-Man. They're into Luka Doncic. They're into basketball because they can see these guys, and they're football crazed. Pat Mahomes, you know, Justin Jefferson, Christian McCaffrey. Major League Baseball cannot catch the NFL and the NBA. It just is what it is. I'm getting old because, like, I love baseball, and I've tried so hard to, like, carry the banner for baseball from, being in the Fan Cave, to being on MLB Network, to doing podcasts, to being the Yankee fan that I am, trying to show people, like, yo, baseball is cool. And nah, these young kids, they're not beat for it. They don't gravitate to it.
I think we need someone different than Rob Manfred. I don't know what it is, but
just bring steroids back at this point. Let's bring steroids back, and then we'll have a couple more Aaron Judges, and maybe these kids will get into it.
That's right. Dude, steroid era was awesome.
That's what we grew up in, the steroid era. I remember
being at William Sport
Little League Baseball Camp, and it was the summer of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
Oh, man.
Every kid was hyped up on that.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's just sign of the times. It's a different thing. Thanks for the call, Rob. Major League Baseball hurt themselves because if you remember, what it is the rise of the internet and social media. And for a long time, Major League Baseball hoarded their content and they didn't let people create. They didn't let people take their videos and make content. And Major League Baseball ended up, cutting their nose to spite their face. I guess that's the term. But, like, I remember when I was in the Fan Cave in 2014, the whole premise of the Fan Cave was to grow the game, right? These 8 fans were chosen to watch all 2,430 games in New York City and create content and show the world how cool it is to watch baseball. Like, look at us in this fishbowl, the old Tower Records building, 692 Broadway down the street from NYU. I was in there with 7 other fans all day, every day. And trying to make it like, yo, baseball is cool. Baseball was cool for me. They paid us $6,000 a month. And every time a team came to play against the Mets or the Yankees, players were stopping by. Celebrities were stopping by. And, I loved it. But, like, I don't think it did anything to grow the game. I know Rob Manfred, I met Bud Selig. That was Bud Selig's last year. Rob Manfred was shadowing him when he came to the Cave. I think Rob looked around. And then when he checked the budget, like, we're paying these kids $6,000 to watch baseball and create internet content, and he X'd it. So my class was the last year. It was 2011, 12, 13, 14, and then that's it. Like, we need something like that now. They could do so many more things now with an MLB fan cave in New York and some content creators. And there are a ton of great content creators in baseball, but they're just not reaching the young kids. NFL and NBA had just lapped them. They've just passed them. I don't know. It is what it is. Henry in the Bronx. What's up, Henry? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
I'm all right.
First and foremost, I love your enthusiasm. Now, I was thinking about, you know, the records now from the Negro League that the Baseball Hall of Fame are allowing those records now to come into the Hall of Fame, and all the Ty Cobb fans and the Babe Ruth fans. How do you think they feel about that? You know, that now the Negro League has a lot of players that, you know, surpass the players that were in that time.
How do I think who feels?
Well, you know, do you think the contact is should be right? Now they put the things right.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to, thanks for the call, Henry. I tried to stay away from this topic because I don't care. It doesn't do anything for me. I obviously do care about the Negro Leagues. If you've listened to me, I've been over there at Hinchcliffe Stadium with the, you know, the renovation of that Negro League stadium where the New York Cubans played and the New York Black Yankees played. And obviously I'm black, like, and I'm a baseball fan, and I want the stories to be told. I've had Bob Kendrick on the Fan. I you know, the Yankees were just in Kansas City. Marcus Stroman was there. Like, I want the history to be told, but I felt like, you know, like, it's one thing to try to, like, right a wrong and like, redo history, but it's like, the last thing I'll say about it, because, like, I don't like talking about it, because, you know, there's no way to win here. The Negro Leagues were created because the black players were not allowed to play in Major League Baseball. Funny enough, I referenced that with Babe Ruth and how, like, you know, Judge is playing against the best players in the world. Babe Ruth was playing against the best white players in America. So when I saw the news and people made it like, it's like, I don't know. They said it took 17 years to get these Negro League stats together, but they don't have all the stats. Some of them are missing. They also said that, I don't know. I just, to me, I felt like it was pandering. I felt like it was, you know, I talked about it one night when I was on. I was like, you know, in the Black Lives Matter 2020 time, I remember they, like, painted this big ass, like, Black Lives Matter on the street in Washington, D.C. And I'm like, what does that do? What black people does that help? What black people does this help? Does Josh Gibson's family make any money off of him being now the new, like, you know, I'm just, I don't know. To me, it's backwards. But I'm like, who cares? These kids don't care about baseball. So these kids don't care about the Negro League stats being included with Major League Baseball stats. And to me, it's like kind of fugazi. You know, I bet you Ichiro wants his Japanese stats included with his American stats. They would never do that. I bet you Shohei Ohtani, Hideki Matsui, they're like, hey, what about our league? They're different leagues. The Negro League was created, a whole different league for African Americans to play in front of African Americans because they were deemed not good enough to play in Major League Baseball. And there are stories about women who played in those leagues. So to combine them, and I don't know, to me, it's just like, I saw that and I'm like, what exactly are you guys celebrating? And I heard a lot of people speak on it, and I'm like, I don't really want to talk about it because, you know, I'm going to seem like an Uncle Tom, or like, when you're black, they think that everything black, you're like, every black person's supposed to be like, yeah, like, no, dude, like, what does it do? What did we achieve? What did we accomplish? We added some numbers in, and like, they literally, and I looked up stuff. They said they added some numbers, but they don't have all the numbers. So you don't have all the exact facts in 2024 going back all the way 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, to me, it's like, I don't know. It's not authentic. It's like, oh, okay. I guess, you know, the best thing that is going on right now with the Negro Leagues, a week from today, the MLB will be at Rick Wood Field in Alabama. And I want it to go down there. I definitely can't go down there. I'm not allowed to fly, but I wanted to go down there for it because it's historic. And the coverage of it is going to be great. And when I saw them have Field of Dreams, I thought about this. And now this is a real life Field of Dreams. There are two Negro League stadiums that still exist in the United States. Rick Wood Field is one, and Hinchcliffe Stadium is the other. And I hope, I pray that after they have this game, next week on June 20th, that the world can see that, and then we can put in motion to have it in Patterson at Hinchcliffe Stadium. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls till 12. I'll be right back. Might be a little bit of a delay when you hear this. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Time is burning on me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I've got a full rack of calls. No more calls. Let's try and get through the rest of the calls and conversations. It's wide open. By the time we get to 11 o'clock, it's open mic. And I like to, you know, keep the shows moving like that. I don't like to hit one topic for all 5 hours. I love talking all sports with all people, all teams, whatever you guys got. So let's get back to the phones and see what you guys want to hit on. Bruce is in Flushing. Bruce, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, three Yankee points if I can. Mm-hmm. First point, the pitcher I would love the Yankees to get is Tanner Scott. Reason A.
Tanner Scott, who just gave up the game in Flushing?
Yes. I mean, nobody's perfect.
Neither is Clay Holmes, right?
So, he's on lefties. He's a solid eighth inning guy. When Holmes can pitch in a game, and the Yankees seem to be really, really careful when he pitches. They don't like him back-to-back. They don't like him 3 out of 4 days. He can be a closer. And, I mean, look at his stats. He's fantastic. Now, the pitcher you mentioned from Chicago, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't he a starter, not a reliever?
I'm not familiar with him. I got to look him up.
I know the name.
Garrett Crochet?
Yeah, he's got great stuff. And he has great stats. But I always thought he was a starter. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he is a starting pitcher.
So, Tanner Scott is used to being in the bullpen, and that, I think, would be perfect for the Yankees. Second point. Now, I understand that Lewis Torrens had an opt-out clause for June 15th. And I don't know if you remember this now, but I told you about him before he went down to training camp to talk to him. And you saw in training camp, this guy had you know, was very good. Now, my question to the Yankees, why just give him up? You could have brought him up, bring Wells down. He probably has options left. And even though he had a couple of hits the last 2 days, he hasn't been what the Yankees hoped he'd be. You could have brought up Torrens, wait until the trade deadline, and then trade him at the deadline.
I don't know. I think there's some more favor with Wells because Wells and Volpe are BFFs, and they had the plan for, you know, the guy that they drafted in Wells. But no, I mean, Luis Torrens has been great for the Mets. He looks like he should have been playing up here.
And a third point, for all Yankee fans, including the website Yankees Go Yard, calm down. As I told you the other day, Dominguez had only 13 games in AAA last year. So let him play for the next 2 months, and then before, you know, at the deadline where you should trade to Trent Grisham, you have to pick up part of his salary. Or if you want to wait to August 31st, because that's the last time you can add a player that's eligible for the playoffs, let the kid play 1 or 2 months in AAA.
Yeah.
I know he's hitting well, but he hasn't had that much experience in AAA. Let him play, and God knows with the injuries, if there's an injury that happens in the next two or three weeks off of it, fine. Then he can bring up. There is no rush to bring up Dominguez.
No, there's no rush, and he's perfectly fine right there. I'm with you on everything, Bruce. Garrett Crochet, as you know, I just look him up. He had a career night tonight. Maybe that's why people were talking about him and sending that in the Bleacher Creatures chat. He set a new career high for strikeouts. He had 13 strikeouts for the White Sox tonight. And you mentioned Yanks Go Yard. Those are my guys, Adam and Thomas. I've done at least 2 podcasts with them, and Adam and I go back to like 2015 Bronx Pinstripes doing man on the street stuff outside Yankee Stadium. Yankee fans got to relax, but like that's the opposite of what Yankee fans do. They're never relaxed. There's always something. We always want more. There's something to complain about, something to want, something to be mad about, and even in a season like this where these guys probably get 50 wins tomorrow, it's always, do this, do that. We want this. We need that. It's not good enough. Trade this guy. Whatever. Mario in Long Beach on the Fan. Go for it, bro.
What's going on? Nice show as always.
Thank you.
You know, they're still playing that soundbite of you saying get DFA that guy. I heard it.
Yeah,
today.
You know, it is what it is.
Why don't you just call him up and tell him,
I don't know who to call. Connor is working on it. Connor clipped some stuff from me tonight, and he knows who to reach out to. But I'm like, come on, WFAN, you're not painting me in a good light.
Yeah, you know what it is? The only reason I really paid attention to it, because I heard you say it the other day.
Yeah,
I
got to speak on it, because I listen to the fan like you guys, and then I hear Keith McPherson at night. I'm like, that's such an old take, and we have takes every single night. They expire. All of us are wrong. All of us say things one day, and then we have more information and different things to go off of the next day, week, month, and it's like, we could do better, and I think we will soon.
Exactly. I loved your rant on Cohen. Basically, you're saying money doesn't buy results all the time. You know,
money isn't everything, and other people have money too. It's not just this is the richest guy, so the math says he's going to the richest guy. No, you couldn't pay me to put on a Mets jersey.
You know what's going on with the Yankees? If you really look at everything, do you know they lead the league in? They lead, I think, Major League Baseball in ERA for starting pitchers and relief pitching.
Yeah, and then I think OPS and something else. They're at the top of pitching and hitting in baseball.
And before this game, I was calculating their wins if they kept on pace. They were on pace for 112, which would be fourth most. This is their year, Keith. This
sensational.
Year.
I feel that way too. And if this is the year, hold on, everybody. Stack the deck at the trade deadline. Gerrit Cole's coming back, and Jason Dominguez is waiting in the wings.
Can I ask you one other question, and then I'll let you go, because I know you got a lot of calls?
Sure thing.
You got 1 second? Okay, this is my question. It drives me crazy, because I played ball, too. And I'm going to pick Soto out today, but he's a great player. So when he hit that that single that he tried to stretch to a double that tied the game or whatever it was, then he got thrown out at second, right? I don't know if you remember that play.
Mm-hmm.
It was a single, the guy scored, but then he got thrown out at second, trying to, because the throw came home. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm watching it in replay. So I'm watching, he hits the ball, he runs 5 steps with the bat, then he drops the bat, then he starts running. If he was running out of the box, he's safe by a mile a second, you know? Why do they all do this? And I love Soto. This has nothing to do against Soto, just in general. I'll hang up and listen to you because I know you have a...
He's not above reproach. You're correct. Thanks for the call, Mario. Drop the bat and run. That's why we preach hustle. That's why we preach, hey, get after it. I don't know, carrying the bat and admiring anything. It's just, I don't know, it could come back to bite you, whatever. It's not a big deal. They lost the game, but they didn't lose the game because of that. I'm on Fangraphs now, which I rarely go to. I'm not a baseball nerd like that. I don't do Baseball Savant. I don't do Fangraphs. Like, I'm a baseball fan that pulls up to Yankee Stadium. I can show you where to get a drink at. I can show you where... you know, to watch the game and the ins and outs and stuff like that. I'm not, you know, one of these BABIP and ex-WOBA and weighted runs created type of guys. But when you go to Fangraphs, if you go to Fangraphs and you just click on 2004 team stats, the number one team in hitting, batting, is NYY. If I go to teams and I go to team pitching stats, I don't know if the Yankees are number one there, but they should be up there. Oh, they're not that high. They're 12. I'm not sure which category they lead. If we're talking ERA, let me look for ERA. The Phillies are up there. Obviously, the Phillies have Ranger Suarez, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. But anyway, yes, the Yankees are very good at pitching and hitting. And I'm an eye test guy. I just watch the team. I just watch the guys play. And watching the guys play, I'm like, these guys are pretty good. 888-808-1019. I've got 4 calls holding. This show will be done in like 16 minutes. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Man, shout out to all the people that listen and don't call. Keith McPherson on the Fan. This is my last run. We got 9 minutes. I've got 3 calls. Let's see if we can get all of those calls in. C-Mac is in the bullpen warming up. He's ready to come in and do his thing. Stay tuned for his show, Midnight Ride, taking you from 12 to 5. And on the count of 3, let's get back to the phone. 1, 2, 3. Mike is in Union, New Jersey on the Fan in New York. Go for it, Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Keith? You know, it's always a pleasure to listen to your show, man. Nice mixture of everything, especially this time of year with baseball. Love it, man. And you know what? I'm so happy that you touched on a topic that was on my mind, and I I could not call about it because it would kind of mess things up for me and like just kind of change things. But the topic on the integrating the stats between the Negro League and the Major League Baseball, you know, I mean, I'm happy that you brought it up because it's hard for, especially me, obviously being a white guy, to bring it up. It's going to, you know, automatically, people might think of a specific side. I'm taking a specific side of it. But it's really just like, when I first saw that on the headline, I was like, what is that going to do? Like, I mean, I get to learn some of these players that I never heard of or, you know, kind of dive into their stats. But it's hard to compare it next to some of these other all-time greats that we know are at the top level. You know, like, how can we compare that league with the MLB league with the Negro League? You know what I mean? It's hard to put those stats together. And the fact that they did it, I was surprised, you know, just that they didn't dive into it further before they actually released it. And I mean, I'm just happy also that you brought it up too, you know, because
I didn't. Like someone I said, called and brought it up. I haven't brought it up.
Real?
Yeah, this is the second time I've talked about it on The Fan, and it was from a caller bringing it up because I read up on it. I saw it when it happened. I saw people celebrating it, and I saw black people talking about it, white people talking about it in baseball. And I'm like, why is there a celebration of this? I guess it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But to me, it's something that's just not valid. And that's why I used the parallel of like the Japanese stats. Like, now are we going to go and integrate Ichiro's hits from Japan into Major League Baseball? Like, especially going that far back into the past, to me, it's just not authentic. Like, you know, here's the things that I'm focused on. Thanks for the call, Mike. I went to the All-Star game last year with the Players Alliance. And the Players Alliance brought together some of the best young black women that play softball in the country. They were all committed to Georgia, LSU, Florida. They put together a softball team. I went out to watch them play softball somewhere in Seattle in a tournament. I believe the team's name was Tony Song, and the team was named after one of the great black women that played in the Negro Leagues. That's real. That's giving opportunity to young black women that are playing softball, bringing them together for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The Players Alliance, who flew me out last minute to Seattle to be like a reporter, social media person, and interviewer for them, the Players Alliance, they're making actual change. They are putting bats and balls and gloves into inner cities, into the hands of young black and brown Hispanic people that might not have access to them. That's real. You know, even I've done some work with Harlem RBI, which is now Dream, right? Right here in New York City. That's real. That's making sure that kids have fields that are clean and prepared for them to play. That is making sure that they have officials, umpire crews that are there to call the games. Like, that type of stuff to me is real. Going back in time to grab Josh Gibson's stats and say, now we have a new leader in all of these stats. Look, we're integrating the Negro Leagues. Like, no, back then, they weren't allowed to play in Major League Baseball. But now, we can right a wrong. It just, to me, it's not authentic. And there are some people that celebrated it. Good for you. To me, it does nothing. These kids do not care about baseball. These black kids do not care about the Negro Leagues being integrated into baseball. Man, I thought it was way cooler that you could play with Negro League characters in MLB The Show. This, to me, I don't know. I don't understand what it was for. I heard it took 17 years. I heard that they did not gather all of the stats. They didn't. So if you don't have all the stats, some of the stats are missing. That makes the stats inaccurate. So I didn't bring it to WFAN. I did not care to talk about it. But when someone calls the phone and wants to talk about something, I'll give you my thoughts and my opinion and take on it. I'm a black man. I played baseball growing up. Right, I used to go to Jacksonville, Florida, and my black cousins would laugh at me. What are you doing with that ball and that glove? Let's go hoop. All right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish I played baseball more. I wish I pursued baseball more. I played football and got to college and figured it out that way because football was more appealing. You can get a scholarship. You can be a Division I football player and be famous. You can get to the NFL in a couple years. It's just different, man. And like, I can have those real conversations with y'all. But as far as like Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson and these old records, and they, like I said, I watched one video that said they didn't even find all of the records, so it's not valid. It didn't do anything, and kids don't care. But what I will say is, at least these names will be there, right? when someone goes to look this stuff up. You know what's real? You know what's tangible? If you go to Hinchcliffe Stadium in Paterson, New Jersey now, there's an actual museum. I was at the ribbon cutting for that museum because I care. And if you actually go in there, you can walk around in a matter of 5 and 10 minutes and learn about the Negro Leagues. That's real. Bringing the stats from the Negro Leagues, a league that was created because these people were looked down upon. They were deemed not good enough, even though there was a ton of talent that ended up coming into Major League Baseball. Like, what happens then? What happens when the Negro Leagues disappeared because black players were integrated into Major League Baseball? Trust me, it's not a conversation we have enough time to have. Chev is in Bergen County. Chev, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for having me, man. Yes, man, sir. I appreciate that. Appreciate your story and your hustle as well, bro. I grew up around the corner across the street from Hinchcliffe Stadium, and I kind of popped in late on your conversation here, but my thoughts kind of has changed a little bit. I'm a spoiled Yankee fan. Grew up, you know, I graduated high school in 1999, the prime of Derek Jeter, you know, winning all those championships and, you know, being a rookie of the year and all
Chef,
that.
Chef, let me stop you for a second. You said you grew up around the corner from Hinchcliffe Stadium. Growing up, did you know what happened there? Did you know?
No, I did not.
So everybody that I met in Paterson, like Paterson people told me they had no idea that the history that went on at this stadium, they had no idea.
Nah, for sure. And my thought is shifting. You know? Like, I think baseball is boring, man. You know what I mean? Like, the 4-hour games, I know it's changing. They're doing things to make hustle.
Yeah, they've sped it up.
To speed it up. But, like, you know, I take naps during baseball games, and I love the Yankees. My favorite team ever. Baseball is my favorite team. Yankees are my favorite team. Baseball is my favorite game, but I'll watch the Giants any day. Anytime.
Yeah, it's just different. It's different.
Absolutely right. But now I question, like, how do we get kids to go to Hinchcliffe Stadium to learn about the history of that? I'm an educator. Not going to say where I work and all that stuff, but, like, how do we get kids to go learn about that history now and, like, you know, get them more invested and learn about the game and be about it?
They're working on it. Thanks for the call. I've had the mayor on. They're working on it. And like I said, I hope when this Rickwood Field game happens next week, the mayor is working on it. He's talking to Major League Baseball. I hope that they can do a Negro Leagues game, maybe with the Mets and the Yankees, as the New York Black Yankees and New York Cubans over there in Paterson, and really get something going like that. That is tangible. That's real. Last call of the night goes to Kevin in Bayville, New Jersey. Kevin, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, Keith? I love the show, man. I just wanted to tell you to keep the faith in baseball and the youth. I got 10 kids on my little league team that absolutely love baseball. And I know about 5 or 6 other teams, at least in our town, playing here. And every one of those kids are just absolutely in love with it. But besides that, I want to ask you, what happens if Dan Jones has like a decent season this year, like a first round playoff loss? And then are we like stuck with this guy again? Cause that's not good enough for me.
If he gets you to the playoffs, then he's had a good enough year where you're not stuck with him. You're like, all right, let's keep building with him and Dable. That means another year in Dable's offense, he took a step forward. We'll get there. You can't fast forward to October for the postseason or, you know, week 7 of the NFL season. That's all I got. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM. Another one. C-Mac is coming up next. Call him up. Stay tuned for his show. He will take you through the overnight. I'm off tomorrow, but I'll be back Saturday at 2 p.m. And then again, we'll do this on Monday, 7 p.m. to 12. I appreciate everybody so much. Thank you. It's a good time. Hopefully you had as much fun as I had. I got to go fight through an hour of traffic and go lay down and rest my hernia surgery. I'm out of here. Later.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.